It's better over here.
AT&T customers, switching to T-Mobile has never been easier. We'll pay off your existing phone and give you a new one free. All on America's largest 5G network. Visit T-Mobile.com/carrierfreedom to switch today.
Pay off up to $650 via virtual prepaid MasterCard in 15 days. Free phone up to $830 via 24 monthly bill credits plus tax. Qualifying port-in trade-in service on Go5G Next and credit required. Contact us before canceling entire account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance and required finance agreement is due.
This show is sponsored by Midi Health. There are great things that come with age. Wisdom, experience, and knowledge. Just to name a few. But if you're a woman over 40, it can also bring some less desirable things like hot flashes, insomnia, brain fog, moodiness, and weight gain, all symptoms of menopause and perimenopause. Yes, hormonal transition is a fact of life, but that doesn't mean you have to accept its symptoms as just another part of aging. MIDI clinicians are menopause experts, equipped to support you with safe, effective, FDA-approved medications, as well as supplements, lifestyle coaching, and preventative health guidance. You'll come out of the experience feeling heard and with a plan to start feeling better. MIDI offers accessible care. All their services are covered by insurance, and they're conveniently accessible through telehealth visits and 24/7 messaging. You deserve to feel great. Book your virtual visit today at joinmidi.com. That's joinmidi.com.
Come join me, Andrew Filippone.
And me, Patrick Peterson, three-time NFL All-Pro cornerback on First and Pod for premier NFL coverage and conversations.
Our motto on the podcast is every team, every week, and we don't play favorites. Every episode, you get a glimpse of the entire National Football League with First and Pod. Follow and listen to First and Pod on Mondays and Fridays on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Why was the roster in such bad shape entering this offseason?
You tell me.
he almost said what he... What?
Not doing that one.
Gerard Mayo yesterday on the Greg Hill Show. It's high noon here on Jones and Keefe on WEEI. What was he going to say? Go talk to Robert. Got to ask Elliot Wolf about that one.
That's an Elliot Wolf question.
Go track down Bill Belichick. Who's he talking about when he caught himself and then said, ooh, actually... Mm-hmm. Not going to go there. We've been discussing that all day here on Jones and Keefe. Of course, the debut of Drake May as well. It was great, but the Patriots still have a long way to go. So how do they dig out of this, and how did they get here? Something we've been discussing with all your phone calls at 617-779-7937. We'll get to the Bruins, their game last night. We'll get to Kiefer Madness. I think we're going to talk some Jerry Jones and Kiefer Madness.
Yeah,
today,
right? He had a busy morning on his radio show.
I think that'll be worth getting to here today. So that's at 12:45. Stay tuned for it. And right now, as we do every Tier Tuesday, which is also a Tom E. Tuesday with Tommy Curran of NBC Sports Boston, he's brought to you by D'Angelo's Sandwiches, New England Sandwich Shop, which graciously
delicious
dropped off lunch for us here again today. The text line is shouting out, by the way, Keith, the Thanksgiving sandwich that they have on the menu.
Well, that sounds good, too.
Which might be a good future lunchtime. FlexCar. Save thousands with your flexible car lease at FlexCar.com and by Awaken 180 Weight Loss. If you're hearing this, chances are you're less than 20 minutes away from the closest Awaken 180, a once-a-week lunch break, a quick stop on the way from work, minutes away from proven weekly weight loss, Awaken180WeightLoss.com. Tommy Curran, how we doing?
What's going on, boys? How are you?
Very good.
We're doing wonderful. We're very happy to see Drake May out there for his first start. What'd you think?
I thought he was outstanding on a curve. But I said the same thing about Jacoby Brissett 4 weeks ago, Keith. but look, when you go against the Houston Texans team, kind of cold off the bench, that had undressed Josh Allen to the tune of a 9-for-30, 130-yard day the week before, harassed Caleb Williams in the opener with 7 sacks, and you're able to go out there and put together, not just completion-wise, percentage-wise, I thought he'd be closer to 50%, but also to make plays with your feet, take some hits, move around, stay cognizant of what's going on down the field, not look like you're about to pee yourself. It really was encouraging. And I thought he would be better than expected, because I thought a lot of the panic was related to, oh my God, it's going to look like chaos. But he still even looked better than I expected, and I expected him to look kind of competent.
If you look at sort of the supporting cast around Drake May, and I'm talking both on the field and play caller, how would you rank, I guess let's say the three things, offense, Alex Van Pelt, the skill position guys, and the offensive line? Like, which one do you think helps him the most, and which one do you need, he needs the most help with?
I think Van Pelt helps him the most. As much as we're having fun treating him as a pinata because of the NFL's, you know, where they rank in the NFL, you know, metrics of production on offense, it's a horrible roster. We continue to look at the sky and be surprised that there's a sun up there. It's a bad roster. So Alex Van Pelt, I think, is the one thing you can look at and say that that's helping them. Former quarterback in the league, understands and has developed quarterbacks, is installing a regimen that I think has made Drake May look over the course of time from when he was drafted in April to now. He's miles different. He is way better than he was in April. So Van Pelt's helping him. Secondarily, I think that the skill position players, that it seems as if the Patriots are starting to say, let's get Booty out there, let's get Douglas out there, let's allow him to, meaning May, feature those guys. That helps him second most. And then the offensive line is a massive detriment, and I don't know how anyone could think otherwise.
So let's leave coaching to the side for a moment, although I think coaching does play a large role. Who do you think Mayo was talking about in the clip that we were going with there? He caught himself, and we've kind of narrowed it down, and maybe there are other options. Belichick, where I know Kraft is willing to go. Kraft, Elliott Wolf, like who's he frustrated with when it comes to the roster? Because it sounds like he's frustrated.
Well, obviously, when you don't draft well for going on 12 years, and you haven't drafted an offensive lineman that you gave a second contract to and since 2016 in Michael Wenu, you moved on from Shaq Mason and Joe Tooney for no good reason. You had Trent Brown running around over there on the left side not doing much. You fanned on Isaiah Wynn. Who do you think he's talking about? It's obvious. The person who was in charge of personnel prior to January was Bill Belichick. The roster isn't good. How could it be anybody else other than Bill Belichick?
So why'd they spend the whole offseason re-signing all of Bill's guys, though? Like, that would be the one because, thing that leaves me scratching my head.
Sure. No, I love this question because it's mentioned so frequently. Jabril Peppers signed for kind of low money for a good player. Now maybe we know why. Mike Mwenu was the best guard, offensive lineman, actually, on the free agent market, as was Hunter Henry at the tight end spot. So that's three. Ramondre Stevenson, I guess. Maybe kind of an overpay. Same thing with Duggar. But Josh Uche, you got for pennies on the dollar. Who else would you have signed instead? Calvin Ridley, who's bitching like a maniac down in Tennessee? Okay, it's going great there. It'd be awesome to have a $25 million receiver when you can't really even generate anything. This is the kind of thing where you develop and try and make up for the problems that were with the roster prior. But explain to me with the, we signed all of Bill's guys, what would you have done instead rather than allow Duggar and Peppers to hit free agency or to bump up Barmore, who's probably one of their best defensive players? What would you have done?
So, yeah, I would have. I mean, Ridley Tyron Smith, or a bunch of guys we talked about.
Tyron Smith, Jonah Williams.
But all the pending – I'm going to keep talking.
One of the running backs that was out there, Saquon Barkley, Derrick Henry.
Yeah.
But all the pending free agents just go, so that you're already changing the leadership, changing the coordinators, and now all the continuity that you had with the players who were there, just let them go too and replace them with ...
Well, so even if you put the re-signs aside, does Elliott Wolf get a pass for not bringing in any good players in free agency because, I don't know, like they weren't willing to spend a lot of money, or maybe people didn't like the class? Because just going over the list, he didn't bring in any good players.
No, he was horrible.
Right.
It was a horrible performance and a short-sighted performance. And it was a pee on your leg and tell you it's raining performance with Chukwuma Okorafor. It was embarrassing. But to me, the notion that, well, if the team was so bad, why did they re-sign all the guys that Bill brought in? Well, first of all, that announces how bad the coaching has been over the last 2 or 3 years, which it was. And kind of continues to track on the same wavelength this year so far. But that's understandable. But he did a horrible job in free agency because of the lack of urgency. But also in free agency, and this was interesting, Albert Breer mentioned this. Why didn't the Patriots get a tackle? Why didn't they get a wide receiver? Because good players at those positions don't get to free agency anymore. They're either gotten through the draft or through trades. Teams re-sign those guys. So when there's a Devontae Adams or an A.J. Brown or somebody else who switches teams, you're doing it through trade. When you're paying free agency, you're paying a premium for a Calvin Ridley-type player. And he's probably not really as good as you think, but because the market is so small, because the supply is so small, the demand becomes high. So he could have done more, especially on the offensive line. They're going to have to overpay because they're a bad team, and they're going to have to convince guys to come here. And free agency sucks. They have to build a team through, but the only way they're going to do it quickly is through free agency and trades. But draft is always the way to go, but the draft has been blown for several years.
Well, and then this year's draft, obviously way too early to tell. We just got our first start with Drake May, but their second pick was a wide receiver at a position that they have sucked at drafting and developing and all of that. Jalen Polk, on a day where other receivers around him had career days, like Pop Douglas and Kayshon Boutte, Jalen Polk did not. He doesn't seem to be fitting in great thus far. Where do you stand on Polk, and what's your outlook for him for the rest of the season?
I'm stunned that he's this poor. Like, there's no other way to put it. He's been a semi-disaster. I mean, he had a touchdown catch, I believe, in the first game of the season, second game maybe, and since then, just embarrassingly inefficient performances. And he played well in the training camp. That's what I'm driving at, actually. That's why I'm stunned. He looked good in training camp. He was out there with the ones. He got a ton of reps. He looked good in preseason, and this is so far afield from what I expected him to deliver, which is disappointing because I don't know if it's the geography here that just brings in any receiver and they immediately, if they were drafted, cannot play. But to me, it's stunning. And I've always been a fairly big supporter of Kayshon Boutte's on-field performance, so I'm glad that he's starting to get more opportunity.
It's time now for Tommy Curran's Flex of the Game. It's presented by FlexCar. You can ditch the dealership and save thousands with FlexCar. What was the Flex of the Game from last week, Tom?
To me, the Flex of the Game was the scramble check down to Hunter Henry, which he ended up with 243 yards, Drake May did, but to find that ability to move, improvise on the run, and throw to guys who, because the play has been extended, have created separation. That, to me, is a nice flex. And that's something that Jacoby Brissett did in the first couple of weeks, but it kind of went away when he said, I don't want to make any mistakes here. I'm going to flip back from the flex of the game, and I want to ask you guys, what's your reaction as I prattle on about the Trump card that people use? Well, if he was so bad, how come they re-signed all his players?
Wait, who?
What's your reaction to my – what's your response to my saying
– No, I mean, I don't mind
re-signing a lot of those guys, because I think if you take it case by case, you're like, oh, that makes sense bringing that guy in. But then when all of your best signings slash re-signings are just guys from a four-win team, I think it looks horrible. So I think it's more like, yeah, go ahead and bring back Onwenu and Duggar, but you better get some other players that are coming in here that are going to help the team. But you can't highlight KJ Osborne, Jacoby Brissett, and Austin Hooper. Like, that, to me, that's the real problem.
It's just weird to blame Bill and then bring back the roster from a year ago and then blame the roster from a year ago. That's all. To me, it's just, it's odd, and you can bring back all those guys. You just didn't need to stop at bringing back those guys.
Bring other players.
You could have supplemented.
Well, I think that the guys that you bring back are one thing, but when you blame Bill for the roster, you're also able to look at Isaiah Wynn or N'Keal Harry or, you know, I don't think Duke
Mack, Cole Strange.
All these other guys.
Yep.
I mean, there's two different things. You can say, all right, well, good job with Barmore. We're going to re-sign him. But that doesn't mean it's a sweeping affirmation that Bill did an excellent job. I mean, if you're going to blame him for the roster, you can't just say, well, they re-signed the good ones. How come they didn't re-sign the bad ones?
Yeah.
Because they already got cut, barely played a game.
Fair. And look, I don't think Bill left the roster in good position. That's why I was advocating him for him to be done long before he was done. But when it comes to this blaming Bill thing, there is a shelf life to it. And I just think, you know, you can only do that for so long. Like, I don't know how long, you know.
Well, it ain't even close to the
Mayo and Elliott Wolf and Robert Kraft want to do that for, because this year is about them. I mean, Bill's been gone all year.
Yeah, they're not even close to the expiration date. It took years to get to this point. I'll hammer them and have, and will continue to, for the offensive line. It's embarrassing to go in with a straight face saying we did enough, and then by this time you have basically an entire offensive line comprised of practice squad players. That's embarrassing. But to me, the shelf life and the expiration date for Bill being held to account for this roster and the fact that they have Drake May at quarterback right now, because they were the third worst team in the league and they blew up the last quarterback they had in and they made horrendous coaching decisions. That's going to last for years.
Okay. He's Tommy Curran, NBC Sports Boston. He joins us every week here on Jones and Keefe. You can check out his latest at NBC Sports Boston. In Drake May, the Patriots chose the right guy for a nasty job. You can check him out on Quick Slants tonight. WEEI Afternoons on Thursdays. Tom, we appreciate the time. Thanks so much.
Thank you for the extra babble time.
No problem, Tom. Thank you, sir. Any Tuesday.
Joining us here on a Tom E. Tuesday. Yeah, I just, while I understand what he's saying, just because there are a couple of good players that Bill had doesn't mean Bill left the roster in a good position. I agree with that. All you did was bring back Bill guys. And that, to me, is just, it's a neat trick to blame Bill for his roster and then turn around and bring back all his guys.
Yeah, well, both
or blame
can be
the
true.
Coaching and keep the whole coaching staff here.
Well, like, that's what I think. Like, if he did such a bad job, why are you hiring a guy that was drafted by him, coached coached with him, was a player for him? Like, you're not really making that big of a departure from a guy that you're trying to move on from.
Right.
But no, I still pin it on Elliott Wolf. And so, I mean, Tom gives a good point. Like, maybe Jerod Mayo is saying, like, I inherited a mess. And maybe he's giving Elliott Wolf a little bit more of a runway here before he you know, juries up on how he feels about him. But there's no way when he took the job, Jerod Mayo, originally, knowing that it was the roster that it was, he was on the staff. He was very well aware of who the players were. Four-win team taking over when the season was going to start. Do you think he thought Alex Van Pelt was going to be the offensive coordinator?
No.
Do you think he thought Jacoby Brissett was going to be the starting quarterback?
No.
And the best left tackle was going to be Chukwuma Okorafor?
No, he thought they were going to burn cash.
Correct.
He thought they were going to burn cash. And by the way, you mentioned Jacoby Brissett. That's another one where
we've gone
through a million Justin different free agents they could have done better
Joe
on.
Joe Flacco.
Technically, they burnt cash on Jacoby Brissett.
They did burn it. They just lit it on fire.
By the way, did you see that since you brought up Fields?
Yeah.
I think during that interview.
Yeah,
the
Wilson's going to get first-team reps in
Russell
Pittsburgh.
Russell Wilson is now getting first-team reps in Pittsburgh.
They're 4-2. Like, I know he's not slinging it all over the place, but I would just keep going with Fields.
Same.
Yeah, it's weird. And listen, as soon as the backup starts getting a bunch of first-team reps, you know the clock's ticking.
It's a slippery slope.
That's how it works.
Here's what I want to know. I'm not saying Tom needs to have the answer on it, but okay, let's blame Bill. Let's blame Bill all year for this crappy spot. Are we going to do that again next year?
Yes.
Like,
no, we aren't, but they are.
I'm not even doing it for this year.
They are, though. They're going to. I think because Wolf, Kraft, and Mayo.
I mean, Kraft just did it this weekend on The Breakfast Club.
And they are all currently employed with each other. And so rather than they're going to continue to point at Bill until they can't, and then they'll start pointing at each other. And then that's when heads roll.
I'm going to tell you right now, I think they think that's a viable strategy and like buy some time. I don't think it does.
And it also doesn't work because the
fans. I don't think it works with fans. Exactly.
The fans don't like it because half the fans wish Bill was still here. The other half that are happy that Bill's gone are like, stop blaming him.
Right. That's where I am.
Me too. Like, I was happy that they got rid of him. I thought that was the right move at the time.
Bill paid for it with his job, for the crappy job he did. He deserved to lose his job. I'm not crying for the guy. But I don't need you to keep blaming. He's been gone. He had nothing to do with this offseason. Nothing.
It's not like he went to the Jets and took Curtis Martin with him. Feel free to blame Parcells all you want.
Yeah.
He didn't leave
mid-Super
Bowl. You fired him after a four-win season.
I'm sure the answer would be Bill inherited a much more talented roster. But, like, Bill could blame, you know, the Pete Carroll years for a year. But by the next year, he was back on the hot seat. And if they didn't start winning quickly, they didn't have to win a Super Bowl. But if they didn't start winning quickly, he was going to be out the door. So what's the shelf life for blaming Bill? I don't
Depends on who you ask.
Well, I don't even have the patience for it this year. Like, I really don't. But it can't be beyond this year. They can't be next year.
Tune in to find out. Starting
1-4.
Something tells me they will.
2-3 and going, well, we inherited a mess and it's not a one-year fix. That's not satisfactory. And I think most of the fan base, and this is rare for me, I think most of the fan base is with me. I think if Gerard Mayo and Elliott Wolf and Robert Kraft thinks that's a winning strategy, I think they're wrong.
Do you think Dan Campbell was like, oh, that Matt Patricia screwed us like every year? Or did he turn things around?
I mean, I'll be honest, how long he was blaming Patricia for, but
was much at all.
I wouldn't have much tolerance for it. No.
I think he was like, all right, we're going to turn things around. He had, one bad season.
Horrible start.
Coach
Patricia
called a good game.
Campbell's first year, they won three games.
Then the next year, they started like...
Oh, horrible. They turned around.
They got smoked by Zappi, remember?
They won like seven in a row randomly.
They finished red hot, and then last year.
Turned it around. Yeah. And then they went to the conference championship game last year.
So how long can they blame Bill for?
Talk about a guy that buried the franchise. Oh, my God.
Yeah.
He's still digging out.
Yeah, no, for sure. It's better
over here. Now at T-Mobile, get four 5G phones on us and four lines for $25 a line per month when you switch with eligible trade-ins. All on America's largest 5G network.
Minimum of four lines for $25 per line per month with auto-pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto-pay, plus taxes and fees and $10 device connection charge. Phones via 24 monthly bill credits for well-qualified customers. Contact us before canceling entire account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. Bill credits end if you pay off devices early. See T-Mobile.com.
If your day sounds like...
We need the report ASAP.
You deserve Modelo. If you've persevered through... You deserve this rich golden lager with a crisp but refreshing taste. Or if you overcame...
Two more.
You deserve this ice-cold reward. Modelo, the markable fighter. Drink responsibly. Beer imported by Crown Imports, Chicago, Illinois.
This show is sponsored by Midi Health. There are great things that come with age. Wisdom, experience, and knowledge. Just to name a few. But if you're a woman over 40... It can also bring some less desirable things like hot flashes, insomnia, brain fog, moodiness, and weight gain, all symptoms of menopause and perimenopause. Yes, hormonal transition is a fact of life, but that doesn't mean you have to accept its symptoms as just another part of aging. MIDI clinicians are menopause experts, equipped to support you with safe, effective, FDA-approved medications, as well as supplements, lifestyle coaching, and preventative health guidance. You'll come out of the experience feeling heard and with a plan to start feeling better. MIDI offers accessible care. All their services are covered by insurance, and they're conveniently accessible through telehealth visits and 24/7 messaging. You deserve to feel great. Book your virtual visit today at joinmidi.com. That's join, M-I-D-I.
Come join me, Andrew Filippone.
And me, Patrick Peterson, three-time NFL All-Pro cornerback on First and Pod for premier NFL coverage and conversations.
Our motto on the podcast is every team, every week, and we don't play favorites. Every episode, you get a glimpse of the entire National Football League with First and Pod. Follow and listen to First and Pod on Mondays and Fridays on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
They're winning the mental side of the battle on us. And, yeah, Pasta got hit, you know. And I love what Pav did. Went in, defended him. That's great. But the penalties after that, I mean, it's just not discipline, you know. And it's all four games that we take at least four minors. Can't win hockey games that way. And then we can't lose as many battles as we do. I mean... They're the standard right now in the NHL for winning battles. And we're not up to that level yet. We have to vastly improve that level.
Jim Montgomery, following the Bruins' loss, second time in four games, to the defending cup champion Florida Panthers. Panthers did not have yesterday two of their best players in Matt Tkachuk and Sasha Barkov. Down both of those players. Bruins had Jeremy Swayman, who they did not have. In the opener, it was Korpisalo in that game.
Yes, it sure was.
And it wasn't great.
No.
In either of the two games. Jeremy Swayman, four goals yesterday, a shorthanded goal in that game yesterday. Florida gets, or the Bruins rather, get handled again by Florida. And the larger concern is, are the Panthers and the Bruins heads? Can the Bruins handle what a team like Florida is throwing at them, even when they're shorthanded? Because, Keith, you saw multiple times the Bruins try to play and beat Florida at their game, and they can't do it.
Are they in their heads? Yes. Can they beat them right now?
No.
I mean, it's two losses in a week. You know, like you said, you have the Jeremy Swayman excuse for the first game, but even still, just the way that they played, it was overall. I mean, Montgomery actually was the one that said Corpusala was good. I don't agree with it. I don't think most people do. But that's just to prove the point, like how mad he was at the defenseman and just the entire game. It's like, no, Florida is absolutely in their heads, and it's the playoff losses. It's the way they play. They can get under your skin. They can be super annoying. It's a great rivalry. You know, I was shocked going into the opener when they had the tail of the tape, and they were talking about like the last like 20 meetings, and it's like the same. It's like wins are the same. Goals are the same. Doesn't feel that way because All the big games have been won by Florida.
All the important playoff wins are Florida, yeah.
But it's like that has really kind of taken over. And so it is. It's a fun rivalry. You hate that team. It's the most hateable team as a Bruins fan going. Like way more than Montreal, way more than Philly, Toronto, New York. Like it's Florida. But yeah, they right. got yeah, your number.
Kachuk and Bennett yes. and guys
oh,
like that. Yeah,
God.
It's an
Reinhardt. I hate all those guys.
Talented but very unlikable from a Bruins standpoint team. So, yeah, easily but their biggest rival, yeah.
Montgomery was kind of laying into him, and he's obviously pissed about it. And it's not just a Florida thing. He mentioned in there all the penalties they've taken, all the four minor penalties per game so far. And so even in the wins against Montreal and L.A., they're not very disciplined. So that's the thing that he's most mad about. You can only imagine what he's saying to those guys in the locker room, if that's what he's saying to everybody at these post-game press conferences. So he's pissed about that. He's like, they're not playing buttoned-up hockey right now. And against a team like Florida, they're going to make you pay. Maybe you can get away with it against lesser teams like Montreal. But, yeah, that's a tough way to start the year.
So I'll say this to start. I didn't think the Bruins did a good enough job like attempting to step to Florida physically. In the first game, I'm like, if you're not going to beat them on the ice, like at least send them a bit of a message. I was calling for this. They attempted to do it, and it still didn't work.
Yeah.
So, you know, you can kind of fail in that regard, like I thought they did in the opener. You can attempt to step to them more in this game, which I think they did. Again, Florida, very shorthanded. No Kachuk, no Barkov. But, you know, you have Marchand willing to mix it up. Mm-hmm. And you have who took the first fight? Why am I blanking on it? Zacha.
Oh, yeah.
Out there trying to step up in defense of David Pastrnak. And, you know, he gets pummeled when mm-hmm. he's out there. You have Kastelic going around playing the big physical game he's brought in to play. And it still didn't work for the Bruins. And you have to wonder if they're going to continue to do this with Florida or if they're just going to let it be and just say, all right, Sam Bennett, he ran Marchand last year. We didn't get him in the opener, and now we're just gonna leave it be, and we're not gonna do anything about it. Passes in the past, and we need to focus on going out there and beating them on the ice, which they struggled to do. On Montgomery, who do you think he's mad at, Keith? Who do you think he's talking to when he talks about not being disciplined? He specifically singled out Pavel Zacha mm-hmm. for what he did there. So I don't think he's talking about him. Who do you think he's pissed at? Is it Marchand? Is it McAvoy? Like, who's he pissed at?
I think McAvoy's probably going to take some of that just because he is the best player. You expect the most out of him. Well, I think he's mad at the top two lines.
Well, and he's the one in the box when Florida's out there scoring.
So, I mean, the direct shot, I think anybody that's taken a dumb penalty is who he's addressing immediately. But I think he is also saying they need to get more out of their top couple of lines. Because for the most part, he hasn't really blamed anything on goaltending thus far, and anything really on like the fourth line. So I think it's almost everybody else,
right?
Like, you know, that's a real team kind of loss and team kind of letdown in both of these games to Florida.
Do you think? So I wonder how much of it is Marchand, how much of it is McAvoy. Those feel like the two people that he's kind of ripping into.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
Maybe some of it's Pastrnak as well. For all I know, that Pastrnak didn't feel like he's at the heart of it yesterday, but that is, you know, a player in that top six in that same area that you're talking about that he singled out yesterday that you expect a lot out of. Maybe not as much in the physical game, but, you know, being able to get past some of the physicality. And he's been in the middle of that before with Kachuk. So my guess is it's mostly about Marchand, your captain, and about McAvoy, who has been frustrating.
I know who's also been kind of bad
who's
so far? Well, four games in, Charlie Coyle is still scoreless, and he's a guy that can kind of get streaky. Like, he can have these weeks where he piles up the points and other weeks where he can't, but he's a -5.
Really slow. Like, really. He's giving away the puck left and right. He just looks
skating
slow.
Skating quicksand. He's a -5 on the season. He was -2 yesterday, but he's a -5 overall, and no goals, no assists for a guy who's like your second-line center.
Well, that's and you'd think, you know, with some of the moves they've been able to make, you would start quicker than that, and you would beef things up a little bit more than, you know, probably too much responsibility on his shoulders mm-hmm. last year. So I do find it somewhat ironic when Montgomery's coming out and saying, we're undisciplined and we're not starting on time. Like, those are the kind of things that a coach should be in charge of.
Feels like it's a coach thing, but I mean, maybe for years it's been sort of the leadership there too that has sort of taken care of that.
This is where you have the danger of a lame duck head coach, though, where it's like, well, he's not under contract and he might not be here beyond this year. So you know what? He's chirping about this and barking about that, but screw him.
Players have long-term deals
now. That's what I'm saying. We're all going to outlast him. We don't need to listen to him. And so maybe that's a sign that Montgomery is losing the room. The other thing is, it might be a sign he's feeling the heat a little bit because he doesn't have that contract. And that was another separate takeaway I'd have from that.
Well, the last coach called up the young guys and got canned, as good as he was. You know, so there is a little bit of risk, especially in the NHL. They change head coaches like they change underwear. Like, it's just constantly like this guy, oh, that guy, oh, a little bit of a spark. Oh, no, the spark's gone. All right, see you later. So, I mean, it's early. It's four games into the season, and both losses are to the team that might be the best in all of hockey. But I think he knows that it's not, even in the wins, it's not sustainable the way that they've played. And you're right. If you keep calling out the undisciplined thing, then, you know, from the outside, you're looking at it like, well, why are they so undisciplined? Like, well, what's going on?
Isn't your job discipline?
You would think.
A few things you like control as a head coach.
A lot of penalties in the Patriots. You kind of look at the coach. So a lot of penalties, a lot of dumb penalties for the Bruins. You're like, all right.
How do you start and are you disciplined?
Too many men on the ice last year in the playoffs?
Of course.
10, 12 times?
Of course, although I was told by Razor, who we're going to talk to on Thursday.
That's right, Razor, 11:30 Thursdays.
Each and every week, 11:30 on Thursdays. I was told by Razor that that's not a coach's responsibility, which still flabbergasts me to this day.
Man.
But
he wasn't doing a lot of line changes, though, in his career. No. He kind of just stayed betwixt the pipes.
No, it's true.
Yeah.
And so, you know, the few things you're in charge of, just as you bring up Mayo, think about the game last week for the Patriots.
Yeah.
Houston marches right down their throat, and they get a penalty on the first play. That's on the coach. That is the coach not drilling down enough on details, and I would say the same thing about Jim Montgomery. Are you ready to go? Are you disciplined? Those are direct reflections of the head coach.
Mm-hmm.
Let me add this to the list as well, Keith.
All right.
$8.25 million per year for Jeremy Swayman.
That's a good contract.
He's 2-1. That's good, right?
2-1, sure.
We're happy with the two wins.
You win two out of every three games?
You're going places.
I think so.
245 goals against, .893 save percentage.
Yeah, that'll go up.
I mean, I hope it'll go up.
The save percentage isn't ideal, but that'll go up.
How do we feel about how he's looked through the first three games?
All right. Like,
Kings game was pretty good. The other two, not so good.
Yeah, but I was expecting a lot of rust. I mean, he didn't have any of the preseason. And, you know, I was curious how that was going to play out. He's a young guy, but still, like, I don't know. They have the preseason for a reason. You want to see these guys knock some of the rust off. Even if they're staying in shape, you can't really duplicate that kind of, like, in-game action the way that they've done it. You can't really do that in practice. And so he gets thrown right into it, second game of the season. Like, he barely had he didn't have a contract. And then, boom, like 2 days later, he's on the bench watching the first game. And then he's played three straight games. So he hasn't been great, but I actually thought it was going to be like, man, I thought it might be a little bit worse than this. So I'm okay with it.
But again, he didn't have any rust against the Kings. He looked good in that one.
Yeah.
So I don't know that I'm going to necessarily right. I don't know I'm necessarily going to blame rust per se.
Yeah, yeah.
I think he's going to start the Colorado game, right? I don't know if they've officially announced anything.
Tomorrow night?
Yeah. Shouldn't he get that game? Because, like, Corpusalo should get, if he's going to get anything, he should get the Utah expansion game.
Utah Hockey Club.
On Saturday, right?
Oh, yeah.
So if you play Swayman in that one, he'll have played four straight, but then you wouldn't need him again until almost a week later at Nashville if you play Corpusalo on Saturday.
Yeah, that makes sense.
So that, to me, feels like the approach. The one thing I like about Jeremy Swayman so far, and the numbers are not up to snuff, and it's not looking good, returns on the contract, but it's early. The one thing I like is that it looks like they're going to play him.
Mm-hmm.
Like, you should be playing him 3 out of 4 games. You should be playing him, you know, 55, 60 games this
year. Oh, yeah, they're
doing
it. I thought they might stagger it early, but they're not, which is good.
No, I agree. That's good. That's a good sign with the start for Jeremy Swayman. Now, can he handle it? We're going to find out.
Yeah, yeah.
And
pressure is on.
You know, without the offseason, can he be the same guy? We're going to find out. But I like that they're leaning. You give him $8.25 million. He better be out there 55, 60 times this year.
Really, the best news for the team is they don't play Florida again until January. So they got a little bit of time now to play some teams that they might be able to get some points on, unlike Florida.
So will they be over it by then? And it's not like Florida's going anywhere. You're going to have to play your way out of the division. And upsets happen all the time in hockey.
Ooh, it's a big ABC game, too. Saturday afternoon, January 11th.
Nice. Mark that down.
Circle it.
Mark that down.
Uh-huh.
So I love the idea that, like, the Bruins have no chance against Florida in the playoffs. Like, it's the hockey playoffs. Everything's a friggin' coin flip.
Disagree. Do you think Toronto has a chance in the playoffs?
Good point. It's a fair point.
I do
think this is as bad as Toronto?
I get swept up in a recency bias. I feel like if it's Bruins versus Florida in a seven-game series right now, I'm not picking the Bruins.
Okay, I'm not saying I'm picking them. They have no chance?
Kinda.
Okay, so that's where I disagree. I wouldn't pick them, but like the idea that like they have no chance to beat Florida to me is silly. It's hockey. Upsets happen all the
time.
Not
to the Maple Leafs.
Outside of the Maple Leafs, fair point. And so with the Bruins, we've seen that. Like, did you think Florida was going to beat the Bruins in that playoff series 2 years ago? No, no, you did not. That
but
was a massive
when they
upset.
Did,
so it happens.
It got me.
Is my point. So they need to get past this thing they have with Florida.
Sure,
that's all. They need to get past it and get the physicality thing out of their head because you're not going to step to that team. You're not going to. You beefed up in the offseason. You got bigger.
I know.
You got tougher. It doesn't matter. You're not going to beat them at that game, so stop trying.
What's the way to beat Florida then in your mind? Because I don't think they are.
They're not more talented.
They're not as talented. They're not as physical. So those are two ways to win a hockey game.
Don't let them run around on the Don't let them run around on the power play.
Yeah. So no cheap, no stupid penalties.
Yeah, stay out of the box and don't let them run around on the power play. And exactly, Swayman has to outplay Bobrovsky. Yeah. That's exactly it.
That's the formula.
That's exactly it. Don't let them kill you on the power play.
Yeah.
And Swayman has to outplay the guy on the other side. That, I think that's how you win. 617-779-7937. We'll continue with all your feedback. And on the way next, it's Tuesday, which means it's time for Kiefer Madness.
It's time for Kiefer Madness.
Kiefer Madness.
Richard Keefe, I think it is. Rich Keefe.
Who is that?
How you doing, ladies and gentlemen? My name is Joshua Adams.
What now?
It's Kiefer Madness.
Where's Keefe?
Where is he?
Where's Keefe?
Where is Keefe?
Hey, Keefe, you're a douche.
I was doing Junko Inoshima from Danganronpa.
I'm a firm believer in UFOs and Sasquatch.
That's funny.
Yo, Kiefer Madness is so hit or miss.
Keefe's a nice guy.
Keefe's a nice guy.
Okay.
Kiefer Madness?
It's Kiefer Madness on WEEI.
I bring it.
What?
Taylor Swift?
Nobody is wanting to kill Bigfoot.
A Bigfoot killed those guys.
His head's soaked. He's walking out the door. And there's pickle juice all over the floor.
All right, here we go. It's time for Kiefer Madness on Jones and Keefe, WEEI. And earlier today, Cowboys owner Jerry Jones was doing his weekly radio interview down on 105.3 The Fan in Dallas. He's been doing that for years. I feel like we've had different times we've kind of gone to it in the past.
Well, he usually has like a nice like folksy thing that he says, circumcising a mosquito, things like that.
I ain't got time to jack with you today.
Exactly.
Like he's got a lot of little sayings.
He's a good listen, an entertaining listen. Yeah.
Even if get your damn act together.
Even if his team hasn't won in forever, like, it's entertaining, you know?
So right now,
I don't have the patience to jack with you.
There it is. Thank you. So after Sunday's loss, they are now 3-3. They are 0-3 in Dallas. And that, they didn't just lose. They got embarrassed by the Detroit Lions 47-9.
Yeah.
Lions are throwing to linemen. They're doing hook and ladders to linemen. They got like linemen eligibles. They're just
lined up out wide as
everything
wide receivers.
Everything possible they had.
Yeah, they've been demoted to the Shooketh tier on a tier Tuesday.
They are
Jones and Keefe. Yeah.
Their three wins this year are against Cleveland, New York, and Pittsburgh. Those counts.
Not great. Pittsburgh's 4-2, but about to change their quarterback. Yeah, not great.
So, yeah, it hasn't been great. And so 3-3 and kind of a little bit of a mess. So here's Jerry Jones this morning. Again, an interview that he does weekly, and he's been doing it for years. Here's how
guys ask, have you actually, I've read a couple of these. Have you actually heard it?
I've not.
I've not actually heard it either.
I've read the clips.
Okay, good.
Or the quotes.
I'm excited.
So, yeah, this will be news to me as well.
Let me tell you what I'll do. Let us sit down and look at the decisions we've made over the last several years, okay? I'll look at it. Now, if you think I'm interested in on a damn phone call with you over a radio and sitting here and throwing all the good out with the dishwater, you have got to be smoking something over there this morning.
Obviously, they just started asking about, like, you know, how they get to where they're at. Kind of like what we're talking about with the Patriots, but just sort of like, you know, the offseason and the spending and, like, the whole thing. Like, where are we at here with this team? And he's kind of already a little angry, right?
Yeah.
A little upset.
A little ornery. Ornery is a good Jerry Jones word.
Ornery.
Ornery.
Jerry Jones would be the face of ornery.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah, that's true. Yeah.
I'm not. And I really don't. And I don't even want our listeners to listen to me. Talk about, this is not your job. Your job isn't to let me go over all the reasons that I did something and I'm sorry that I did it. That's not your job.
Interesting. So now he's taking a different approach where he's calling out the interviewers for not doing their job properly.
Yeah, yeah. Our audience.
Our listeners. He's on once a week.
And that's not your job.
No.
Okay.
So he doesn't like that. Don't ask me about the team.
Don't make me go over the moves that I made. Look, Don't you dare ask me about my moves.
Don't throw those back in my face when they don't work out.
I don't want to go over these right now.
Right. And again, you know, this is we ran into this with Bill Belichick, where it's like, you know, sometimes you ask Bill questions like this and you get a little prickly, and it's like, well, at least Bill's won.
Correct.
Quite a bit recently. It's been a while since they've won there in Dallas.
Oh, that is very true.
Yeah.
Well, my job is to ask
get
why.
A job, or I'll get somebody else to ask these questions,
Ooh.
Man.
Ooh.
Wow.
So basically just calling out. No, we know a lot
he
of
He was about
owners,
to say that my job was X, Y, and Z, and Jerry says, no, I'll get somebody else to ask
I'll get somebody
questions.
Else to do it.
Huh.
A lot of billionaires are quite powerful, you would imagine.
Oh,
they,
sure.
They could probably get people hired and fired, that kind
of
thing.
Although they aren't
quite so out front about it. It'd be more like, next week you find out that this co-host has been let go and there's a new face in there. But he's just straight up telling the guy to his face, like, no, I'll get somebody else to do your job.
Owners have been known to exert their influence, for sure.
Because, yeah. You know, that must be moves, a real tough interview most weeks if he's the guy that, like, is paying for him to be there.
Yeah.
But he's going to swap him out.
Okay.
I don't think the questions after you lose 47-9 are really that unfair.
Like a valid time to, and again, you haven't won a Super Bowl since 1995?
Yeah.
And you don't really spend the way a lot of other teams spend.
You got to kick and scream to sign your own guys.
Salary cap when you don't turn around and you aren't competitive. I mean, it sounds like a lot of the same issues here, quite frankly. Although I'd much rather Dallas's roster than this one.
Yeah, but I'd rather.
Kind of sounds like a lot of similar issues.
The Patriots last 10 years overall.
Oh yeah.
Better.
Oh yeah. For sure.
Well, my job is to ask
what job, or I'll get somebody else to ask these questions, man.
Jerry, we're trying to figure out why the team is.
I'm not kidding.
Yeah, you can laugh it off all you want, but, like, you guys aren't going to be employed here.
No, that is.
Which is insane.
That's a nervous laugh where, like, he's doing the calculus in his head.
Yeah, he's like, wait.
In the middle of the interview, like,
can he do this?
I
probably can do this.
I got a wife and kids.
Yeah.
Yeah!
Seriously, there's a little overlap there.
Let me get that laugh again. That's a laugh of, like, oh, man, I better evaluate this in real time.
Jerry, we're trying to figure out why the team is.
I'm not kidding. You're not going to figure out what the team is doing right or wrong. If you are, or any 5 or 10 like you, you need to come to this meeting I'm going to today. There are 32 teams here. You're geniuses.
So, listen, is he insinuating that every owner is a genius?
That seems to be the implication.
There are plenty that have proven over the time.
Mark Davis,
genius.
Absolute genius. Yep. Dave Tepper?
Tepper, genius.
Genius.
Yeah, he's doing pretty
well.
Guy
really knows what he's doing. When
Woody
it comes to football.
Johnson.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. Place is loaded with him.
Jerry.
Okay. Y'all really think you're going to sit here with a microphone and tell me all of the things that I've done wrong and without going over the rights?
Well,
yeah.
Kind of how it works.
Yeah, the team's
That's
3-3.
The name of the game.
You got smoked. This is not the week.
Right.
This is not the week for all the things you've done right. You lost 47-9 or whatever
Dak
it was.
Prescott in the fourth round.
Great.
You're 3-3. I just got blitzed by the Lions.
It really isn't that different than what Bill used to do. Like, Bill used to come on and, like, snort into microphones and...
But he wouldn't threaten to your face that he's going to get you fired.
Not to your face.
Well,
I feel like there was the implication. But, you know, he would go and...
You know,
people would talk about his Rob Gronkowski move from, like, a decade ago or how he drafted Brady. It's like, I get all that. How's that relevant to right now?
Oh, yeah. Mike Lombardi and Matt Patricia aren't like, so we drafted Mac Jones and Cole Strange and N'Keal Harry and Isaiah Wynn.
Traditionally
because
what they bring up. No.
Now, listen, we both know we're talking to a lot of great fans and a lot of great listeners. And I am very sorry for what happened out there Sunday. I'm sick about what happened Sunday. Now, I'm not talking to these yahoos on the end of this phone. I'm talking to you, the fans that are listening this morning.
Guy's not having it.
I broke the fourth wall.
He's not happy. So there you go. There's Jerry Jones.
Jerry.
Oh, we're on the same side, right, Jerry?
Oh, my God. How's my contract written?
Jerry? I mean, it's embarrassing, though. You know, so now every time you listen to that, going forward, those guys either aren't going to be there, which is insane, or they are going to be there.
And you'll know why, yeah.
And they're going to be like, Jerry, like, I just... You guys don't have Micah Parsons. Like, what chance do you have? But, like, that was a great pick. When you picked Micah Parsons, that was so good.
Jerry, this week we wanted to go over all the things you did. Timing notwithstanding, we wanted to go over all the things you've done right during your time as owner. So, no, I just, that whole thing from Jerry Jones,
It's just breaking. I think he's broken now.
It sounds like, I think we were talking about this off the air.
Yeah.
It does sound like, you know, your grandfather at the Thanksgiving table when he's backed into a corner and he's like, I've been on this planet longer than anybody else around here.
Touche.
Don't think you're going to lecture me about X, Y, and Z. That is what it's. It's just an angry old man backed into a corner who obviously.
Jerry, we're trying to figure out why the team is.
I'm not kidding.
Earlier in the season, wasn't he?
I will write you out of the will.
You are done.
I am not kidding.
Wasn't he like, you try and find somebody that can build a better team than I can?
Yes. Yeah.
Yeah. Okay. I found like a lot of other guys that can build a better team.
There's like 15, 20, maybe?
Just an angry old man writing people out of the will is what he's threatening to do. I mean, that is, you know,
that's intense. That's intense.
It's Grandpa Thanksgiving is what it is. And so he knows he's wrong. I mean, obviously he knows he's wrong. And you don't have the patience when you're 82, Keith. Mm-hmm.
82.
Coming off probably a big birthday week.
82 years young, probably had a bash.
I'm sure he's a little extra cranky, a little extra ornery. And so, you know, you have a big weekend like that. You're 82 years old. You don't have the patience to argue with people anymore.
Disappointed about that. I'm particularly disappointed for our fans. Dak will be out for a little while.
And this was so, 2 years ago.
We'll be dealing with that as well. So. This was a really tough night for the Cowboys, but a surprising night. But of course, really add to it right there at the end to lose him for several weeks. We'll see more about how many weeks that may be.
He's the only owner,
several
I think.
Several weeks he was bashing his foot into the ground.
He was smashing. It was disgusting. He's the only owner that does like post game press conferences. Like he was just a part of the game.
Yeah,
he's like breaking it down. Yeah, that Dak Prescott injury is one of the craziest things I've ever seen in the NFL.
Oh, it was insane. What would you rather have, though? Would you rather have, I'm not talking about running your football operation, but from a media standpoint, would you rather have him available but like threatening people's jobs like Jerry Jones or just kind of out of sight, out of mind like Robert Kraft these days? I know he just did the Breakfast Club interview.
True.
That's like a hand-picked interview. That's not facing the media every week.
I think as long as I was in a position where he couldn't fire me, I think I'd rather him be the outgoing, like, out there all the time.
Yeah, you don't want to be the...
I don't want him to then be like, oh, I didn't like your question, you're done.
And you're
like,
out.
Oh, no. Then I'll take the guy that just goes away and hides and I don't have to say anything about
and
him.
And I don't mean to say that he... I mean, look, this is a
that's a great question, man.
It's a hand-picked friendly interview that he does every week, obviously.
Yeah.
We thought. It's
maybe
supposed
not.
To be.
Maybe not.
But he does do those scrums after the game. At least he used to until recently, every week. And so that is facing the media.
It's pretty crazy.
Yeah. So there you go. Kiefer Madness today. Really effectively.
Jerry Jones.
It was a scheduled Kiefer Madness, but it was an emergency that we had to get in today.
We had to.
Based on the newsiness of Jerry Jones. 617-779-7937. We'll get back into all your thoughts here today on Jones and Keith. Plus, Drake May's start. Some of our takeaways from that. Some of our takeaways from his first appearance yesterday on WEEI Afternoons. We'll get to that next. It's better
over here. Now at T-Mobile, get 4 5G phones on us and 4 lines for $25 a line per month when you switch with eligible trade-ins. All on America's largest 5G network.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees and $10 device connection charge. Phones via 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling entire account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. Bill credits end if you pay off devices early. See T-Mobile.com.
Come join me, Andrew Filippone.
And me, Patrick Peterson, 3-time NFL All-Pro cornerback on First and Pod for premier NFL coverage and conversations.
Our motto on the podcast is every team, every week, and we don't play favorites. Every episode, you get a glimpse of the entire National Football League with First and Pod. Follow and listen to First and Pod on Mondays and Fridays on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.